Well, good morning again. So as with most messages, this is going to be a reminder of things that we probably already know, but if you're like me, you forget things, so it's good to be reminded. And so the title of this morning's message is Volunteer or Servant, What Am I? And to give you a little background for where this idea came from, Angel and I were talking to our neighbor, and she's a believer. She's involved in the church that she attends. And sharing a little bit about the struggles sometimes of finding people to help volunteer to fill roles. And she was kind of lamenting the difficulty. She runs their welcome desk and getting people to be willing to help serve in that capacity. And she said, you know, it's tough because it's like there's a mindset. She said it's a mindset of a volunteer instead of the mindset of a servant. And that kind of stuck in my mind because it's a real struggle within the church sometimes, right? To find people willing to help do things. I've heard it said from time to time that, you know, you got to be careful that you don't push too hard when you have a volunteer army, as it's called. Because if you push them too hard, they won't come back. And you know, when you get people coming out for a work day, you can't expect a whole lot because of all of it. It's just volunteers. Well, these statements may have some merit, some. But they're not, in my opinion, approaching this from the right angle. Because as believers, serving the Lord, our mindset should be that of a servant. So we're going to kind of delve into that. What is our mindset today, here? Do we have the mindset of a volunteer or a servant? Let's look at some definitions for starts. Volunteer. Webster says that a volunteer is one who enters into or offers himself for a service of his own free will. Well, that sounds pretty positive. That sounds kind of good, right? You're willingly offering yourself. But listen to the next part of the definition. One who renders a service or takes part in a transaction while having no legal concern or interest. Okay? So it's like, yeah, I'm in, but I'm only so far in. Webster's defines a servant as one who serves others or one that performs duties about the person or home of a master or personal employer. And when we look at these two ideas, a volunteer and a servant, Scripture is silent on volunteers. Scripture really doesn't address that. But Scripture has a lot to say about servants. And so we're going to look at some of those things. So let's think about this. The mindset of a volunteer. What is the mindset of a volunteer? Well, humanly speaking, the mindset of a volunteer is, well, I will volunteer when it is convenient for me. When it fits my schedule, I'll volunteer. Volunteers also volunteer because, well, you know, it really doesn't cost me a whole lot. You know, I'm in town anyway, I don't have anything going on, so sure, I'll chip in, I'll help. A volunteer may also think, well, hey, you know what? If I volunteer for this cause, then my coworkers will think better of me. Because, hey, I volunteered at the walk, you know, for this cause or that cause. You know, the mindset of a volunteer could be, I don't feel like it, I'm not going to do it. Because all I am is a volunteer. I don't have to show up. And another one that could be the mindset of a volunteer is, since I'm not getting paid, I can quit whenever I want. Right? Well, what are the human mindsets, the sinful mindsets of a servant? They're somewhat similar, except for a slight twist to it. So a servant might say, well, I'll keep serving as long as the pay's good. As long as they pay me what I'm worth, I'll serve. But as soon as I think I'm not getting what I'm worth, I'm out of here. Another thought of a servant could be, well, if the benefits are good, The pay may not be great, but the benefits are good, so I'll stick around. Because, hey, it's great benefits. Great benefits. You know, I can eat all the chicken I want. Or there could be, well, if the boss, the master, is nice and kind and doesn't ask too much, then, hey, I'll stick around. But if the master decides to ask me something I don't want to do, I'm gone, right? So that's the human mindset of the servant and the volunteer. But what does Scripture have to say? What does God's Word have to say? Like I said, it doesn't say much about a volunteer, but it has a lot to say about being a servant. So turn to Galatians chapter 3, and let's look at some of the things that Scripture has to say to us about servants. Galatians chapter 3, and verse 13. Paul says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And then turn over to chapter 4 of Galatians, and let's look at verses 4 and 5. Another very familiar verse, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. Adoption as sons. And then the last passage let's look at real quickly is 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even, and here's the key part of this, even denying the master who bought them. Even denying the master who bought them. Now, this is a big topic in our day and time, the idea of slavery. Okay? But in the context that we're talking about here, we have to address it. We have to talk about it. Because what does it say in 2 Peter? It says the master bought the servant, right? In Galatians, Paul says that Jesus paid for our redemption. Slavery is a nasty thing. Except in this context. Because in this context, Christ paid the ultimate price to purchase us. Now there's a unique twist to this. If you were paying attention, in Galatians it talks about the fact that he has adopted us as sons. So there's the challenging juxtaposition of the fact that we are adopted sons and daughters of God, and yet we must have the mindset of a servant. Okay, so we have to kind of balance those two things. Today we're going to focus on the idea of servant. Don't think I'm ignoring the fact that we are adopted, as Galatians says, as his sons and daughters. But today we're focused on the service part of it, being servants. As slaves to sin, we were destined for eternity in hell. Sin had control over our lives. We were owned by sin. And Christ came along and paid that price. What was that price? That price was he came, he died on the cross. He didn't deserve to die. He was sinless. He went and paid the penalty for your sin and for my sin. Every single one of them. Why? So that he could buy us out of that slave market of sin, purchase us, make us his own, and wash away the penalty for our sin forever. That's an amazing thought. That is what he did. That is what he paid to purchase us. That's an extremely high price that's been paid. So according to Scripture, I am not my own. As Peter said, the Master bought me. And if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Master has purchased you as well. And now, you are his slave. You are his servant. What else does Scripture have to say? Well, turn to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. And we're going to start in verse 7. And this is a tough little thought to swallow. It's a tough passage. Luke 17, verse 7. Will any of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and recline at the table? Will you not rather say to him, hey, make dinner. I'm hungry. Dress it properly. Serve me. Clean up after I eat and drink. And afterwards, after all that, then you can sit down and have something to eat. That's a tough life, isn't it? Verse 9. Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all, when you have done all that you were commanded, you say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. Ouch. You heard what that guy did, right? He was out in the field working all day in the heat. I mean, trust me, yesterday was hot and humid. It was brutal. Not as hot as Texas, I grant, but for where we are, yesterday was hot. You work all day, and you come into the house, and what? You get to sit down? No. Now that you're done working out there, you get to come work in here. Go make dinner, serve me my dinner, clean up the dinner, and then after all that, then you can take a load off your feet and relax and get something to eat. And after doing all that, you're an unworthy servant. Wait a minute. I did everything you asked. I worked all day out there. I worked all night in here. I did everything you wanted, and all I am is an unworthy servant? Now, for me, after all done, I've done all that, I want a little golden star at least on the, you know, on the refrigerator, something, you know? Hey, good job. No. What do I get? Yeah, you're unworthy. All you did was your duty. Doesn't make sense, does it? All right, so now that we've looked at that, how does that mesh with us? Well, when I train my children properly and don't exasperate them, when I love fellow believers as I should and give to you sacrificially, when I share the gospel to the unsaved, when I minister in different ministries, when I serve at camp, when I help with VBS, when I do all of that, I'm an unworthy servant. So doing what I'm commanded is less than the minimum. Ow! What else do you say? Because I don't know about you, but for me, when I have worked all day, worked all night, served, cared, loved, done all that, I want a little bit of something. Even just a, hey, great job today. But when I've done all that, the response is, I'm an unworthy servant. So the bar's like way up there. So basically what this means is my thinking is backwards. Because I'm thinking from my perspective, not from his. Turn to Matthew chapter 25. Actually, you know what? We're not going to read it because it's a long passage and I'm running out of time. We looked at this passage a little bit this morning in the first message about the servants. And as we talked about, for me to receive praise, I have to go above and beyond. Remember we talked about that? They invested and got the same amount back as they invested. That's above and beyond. You know, market rates, if you're making 8% on the market, that's a good return. They made 100% on their investment. That's the threshold to hear that good and faithful servant. And so the question is, am I, as a servant, using my abilities and getting 100% back on them? Am I going all out every day, all day, for my master so that I can get above unworthy servant? So that maybe I can at least get to servant. And maybe someday, worthy servant or faithful servant. So my goal is to hear the master say, well done and good and faithful servant. But I have to keep in mind that doing what's commanded isn't really even a passing grade. But I want to be able to hear that well done, good and faithful servant and get that A with maybe the plus next to it. So let's look at some examples of servants in Scripture, because this will give us a little idea of how Jesus could give this example of if you do everything you're told, yeah, you're unworthy. Let's look at Paul. Paul calls himself a servant multiple times. In Romans chapter 1, he calls himself a servant and an apostle. In 1 Corinthians 4:1, he says, regard us as servants. In 2 Corinthians 4:5 and 6:4, he says that we are your servants for Jesus' sake. But let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and look at something. Look at Paul's account of his life as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And we'll starting at verse 4. Paul says, but as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way. And then he begins a list. By great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger. Holy cow. That's a servant. Do I even come close to serving like Paul? That's what a good and faithful servant looks like. 100%. Everything he had laid on the line, given for Christ, given for the kingdom. Nothing held back. I don't know about you, but I've never taken a beating for Christ. Never even been close. So maybe my service is lacking. Philippians 1:1, Paul says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ. In Colossians 1:7, Paul calls Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. In chapter 4, verse 7 of Colossians, he calls Tychicus a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. Paul gave it all. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll see another list of abuses that Paul took for the sake of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23. Are they servants of Christ? Good question. I am a better one. And I love it. I'm talking like a madman. I'm saying it, but this is crazy. With far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, often near death, 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews 40 lashes less one. Okay, he was beaten with a whip 39 times on 5 different occasions. 3 times he was beaten with rods. Okay, so we're going to switch the whip for a stick, and then we're going to beat you. 3 times, okay, 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. You remember that story? They stoned him, they thought he was dead, and they left him alone. He wasn't dead yet. Can you imagine what kind of shape he was in if these guys stoned him and went, yeah, I think we got him? What'd the poor guy look like? 3 times I was shipwrecked. A day and a night I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, dangers from my own people, dangers from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false prophets, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from all other things, if that isn't enough, the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Well, Paul, you should have been, you know, praying and leaving that. Anyway, sorry. That's a servant. A good and faithful servant. In 2 Thessalonians, Paul talks about the fact that they labored and toiled so that they wouldn't be a burden on the believers when they were there preaching the gospel. So what does that mean? Well, that means that Paul was probably putting in 10 to 12 hour days working a job and then preaching in the evenings. Oh, and he was writing letters to the churches and he was praying for all of the believers. I don't know when the guy slept. Well, it says he had sleepless nights. He didn't. He gave 100% all the time. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, he talks about being poured out as a drink offering. It's an amazing visual if you stop and think about it. In the Old Testament, one of the offerings that you could give to the Lord was a drink offering. You would take a liquid and you would bring it, and the priest would take the vessel full of the liquid and dump it. Pour it out. Empty the container on the ground. That's a drink offering. That was Paul. He gave everything for the Lord. Peter calls himself a servant. In 2 Peter 1:1, he calls himself a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what did Peter end up doing? He died a martyr's death for being a servant. So what are some examples that we can use today of service? Think of the things that aren't like this up in front of everybody. Cleaning up after, you know, dinner on the grounds. Taking meals to others who are in need. Doing things that nobody sees or ever acknowledges. This morning when we walked in at 9 o'clock, there was a loaf of bread There was four trays with grape juice, and there was the bags for the offering. Did you know that the elves bring them out Saturday night for that? It's an amazing thing. No. Someone brings those items out on Sunday morning, which means they get here early. And you know what it means? That every single one of those cups in those trays has to be filled in advance. It's something that's done in private, without acknowledgement, without accolades. How about when you're at home and you clean up for your family, for your husband, for wives, for your husband and kids that are such slobs, right? You cook meals day after day after day. Nobody says thank you. Those are examples of practicing a servant's heart. Now, what is our master like? Turn to Matthew chapter 11. We know that he paid the ultimate price, the price that can never be counted for our salvation, to purchase us. But what is he like? Matthew chapter 11, starting in verse 28. The master says, "Take or come to me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, I want you to notice something in here. He never says, "Come to me and you will never have to work again. Come to me and it's going to be real easy." What does he say? He says, "Come to me, those that are burdened, that are heavy laden. I'll give you rest." But then he says, "Take my yoke upon you." Now, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to us. Okay? But when you think of a yoke, think of work. Right? So Jesus is saying, "Come to me, I'll give you rest, but you're going to work for me." But here's the good news. Here's the good news. You're going to work, but my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Doesn't mean you're going to cease working. You're going to continue working. But that burden that I give you, says the Savior, says the Master, is going to be easy and light, and you will be able to bear it. How do you think Paul was able to suffer through everything he went through? The shipwrecks, the beatings with the rods, the beatings with the whips, the sleepless nights, the hunger, the thirst, the worry for the church. How did he bear up under all of that? Because that was the yoke that his loving Master had placed upon him, and he was able to bear it. And so, as a result of that, he willingly suffered all of that for his Master. As I mentioned this morning, Jesus leads by example in this. He was the ultimate servant, right? He washed his disciples' feet. He gave his life on the cross for us. He came, Scripture says in Matthew and Mark both, he came to serve, not to be served. That's the God of creation, the God of the universe, came to serve. If that's the example we have, how can we do any less? It makes sense then how when you do everything you were supposed to do all day long and all night, that all you are is an unworthy servant. And so if nothing is beneath the sovereign of the universe, how can I say that anything here is too lowly for me to do? And I don't get enough thanks and I don't get enough accolades. So back to our original question. Are we volunteers or are we servants? Now, for me personally, I know that this question, the answer to this question will depend upon the day and the time that you ask me that question. Because there are some days when I can honestly say I have a servant's mindset. And there are a lot of other days when I don't. When I have worked all day and I think I deserve a little break and a little attaboy because I serve the Lord today. But I'm not even an unworthy servant at that point. Giving 100% and being poured out as a drink offering for Him is what is expected. And here's where it really gets tricky. There are times when outwardly, what you see me doing, how I'm acting, how I'm behaving, oh, wow, he's serving the Lord today. You know what I'm doing inside? I've got to do this again. Is that the right response? Is that the way a servant should be responding? And so I have to recalibrate my thinking. And what do I recalibrate to? I recalibrate to the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ bought my soul. And I owe Him everything. I also need to remember that I need to be striving to live as a faithful servant so that when I stand before Him, I can hear those coveted words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So how are we doing? How are you doing? How am I doing? Are we living each day with the mindset of a servant that is seeking to please our master, that is seeking to be more than just an unworthy servant? Do you have that thought constantly in your mind, moment by moment, day by day? Am I ready and willing to suffer for Christ's name and in His service, giving 100%, being poured out completely on the ground for Him? Constantly keeping that goal, "Well done, good and faithful servant," in front of me. None of this is easy. Trust me, it's not. But it is what the Lord has asked of us as the one who bought us. So may each of us endeavor to be good and faithful servants of our Lord and our Master throughout this week. Let's pray. Father, we come before You. We're so thankful for salvation. We're so thankful for the fact that You have chosen us to be Yours. And as Yours, we would strive to live in such a way that we might be good and faithful servants when we see You face to face. Give us the strength we need to serve You well, day in and day out. To not live as an unworthy servant who does the bare minimum, but who gives, as Paul and Peter and others in Your word, 100%, gave everything willingly for You. Help us to have that heart, to have that mind, and to live it out, not for our praise, not for what people will say about us, but so that You will receive the honor, the glory, and that we will be able to say that we have served You well. Give us strength for this new week and all of the opportunities and challenges it brings. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.